Welcome to Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. I'm Greg.
And I'm Erin. We've been married for 31 years, almost 32 years. We're marriage counselors and we lead the marriage team here at Focus on the Family. Today, we're going to discuss how can a couple stay strong in a season of waiting? So you might be wondering, what is a season of waiting in marriage? And I would say most couples have probably been through a season of waiting. And, you know, it could have been, you know, we were waiting for kids, we were waiting for that job promotion, we were waiting for financial stability, or maybe even that conflict was going to be handled differently in our marriage.
Yeah.
And so we all go through seasons of waiting.
Yeah, I remember when we were trying to get pregnant with our second child, who now is Murphy. Thus, we were in that waiting season, and I'll never forget the time. I mean, that was there were so many frustrating parts about kind of that waiting season, but I'll never forget that, you know, with Taylor, and she was only about three. And so just trying to find alone time. And so we had her, I think, you know, watching Barney or some whatever, some cartoon.
Yeah.
We're in, you know, in the next room trying to get pregnant, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. And so you're like, I think someone's at our front door, and they're just kept knocking.
Yeah.
So,
well, they could see through the windows on the side of the door that
Taylor
was sitting right there in the living room watching TV. And so they're like, we know Craig and Erin are there. They didn't know that we were occupied.
That's right. Trying to increase our family size. Well, it was a season for me also of training for a marathon. And so often, remember, I'd come home from a long run and just Taylor and I got in this routine that as I would stretch after a run, she's kind of come by and stretch with me. I remember she'd try to sit between my legs and she would always go, "Oh, Daddy, you're so sweaty."
Well, and she would actually say, "Fweddy, Daddy, you're sweaty."
It was so cute. And so, so I go out to answer the door, and as I open the door, it's some of our friends, and they're like, "Hey, we saw Taylor here."
Well, they were close enough.
Where are you guys?
Yeah, they totally knew what was going on.
Well, they didn't until Taylor kind of toddles over. And she looks at me and goes, "Daddy, why are you so sweaty? Did you go for a run?" And that's when they kind of went, "Oh no!" And because they knew we were trying,
I was
mortified.
Mortifying.
But that was a hard season, and we learned a lot from going through that. And that's really what we want to focus on, is how do we wait well in those challenging seasons? And we've got some great segments coming up. Later on, we're going to hear a devotion from our good friend Bill Arbuckle on how we can trust in God during those hard seasons. Mm. Also hear a question from one of our listeners who wants to know, how can she and her husband transition well after having their first child?
But first, we had a great conversation with our friends Chad and Tori Masters about how they struggled when they were waiting for their son, Micah. They're podcasters and speakers with some great thoughts. So let's listen to the conversation we had with Chad and Tori.
You've shared before that there was a long period of time where you were waiting for your son, Micah, and that was a really painful season for you guys. What did you, as you look back on that season, what did you learn?
So I think what's interesting in terms of like seasons of waiting specifically for children, for the woman at least, I think the first month was like, oh, okay, well, you know, it'll probably take us a month or two, right? Like, but like 3 months, no way, right? Like, it's not gonna take us 3 months. And then you hit that 3 month mark and then you're like, okay.
Yeah,
and then you start getting to like 6 months and I'm like, should we be worried? And then it's like 8 months and I'm like, okay, I'm not handling this well anymore. And then I'm like, no way, it would take us all the way to a year. We hit a year. And so there's so many, like, I think what's hard about waiting for a child that's different a little bit than like waiting for your husband or waiting for a promotion or something like that is like, there's so much hormonally happening in you as well, and you're faced with it every single month. And so as your hormones rise and you are actually more emotional in that time, it's also like the loss that you feel like you experience. Because what I realized was something that was tough for me was almost every single month I would be like, okay, well, this is probably why it'll be this month, right? Because like we have these friends coming in town and we can tell them then. And so then when I would like start my period and I'm faced with the fact that we're not pregnant again, then I'm also dying to the dream of
the story,
I built in my head, right? And so it all kind of came to this moment in time right around the year mark of waiting, where I kept thinking I was doing so much better at handling it when really I wasn't at all. I would get super anxious about 3 days out from my period when I would know it was starting to come. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this emotionally, blah, 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 blah. And so it was February and Chad was actually about to head out for his men's retreat. And I'm like, great. I'm feeling like I'm going to start my period tomorrow. He's going to be out of town. I'm going to have to deal with this emotionally by myself. And I was just like completely shutting down and he could totally feel that. Like I literally remember being on the couch and just totally shutting down, just doing everything I could to not start bawling my eyes out. And he was like, can I talk to you? And I was like, oh gosh, oh, I don't know.
Maybe.
maybe.
Oh Lord.
And
well, if you want me to jump in right here, I can share about my feelings at that moment. Sure. Is that okay?
Yeah, this
was a tough one for me. I'm someone, I don't mind conflict. I'm not like afraid of it. It's because I never want to be disrespectful. Like I never want to be intentionally disrespectful.
Yeah.
And so for me, I don't shy away from it. It's not like my favorite thing ever. I love double stuffed Oreos. I love those. Don't love conflict as much. But so I was getting ready to leave. Tori's been, and just to, if you guys are okay, I don't know how TMI you guys get on the pod.
You go, but, you share as much as you want.
So we thought we were pregnant the month before, and it turns out Tori had implantation bleeding, if you're familiar with that. Mm-hmm. And we had so many no's leading up to that. And of course, everyone's on their own journey. I'll say this really quick. There's people that have waited significantly longer, but that doesn't change the fact that every day feels like forever.
Yes.
Especially for something that you feel like God's put you on earth to do, to break generational iniquities or curses, to raise your family. You know, like you just, there's so much wrapped up in big feelings around it. And so whenever that happened, that was a low moment for the implantation bleeding. And then fast forwarding a month later, it's right around our anniversary. I'm getting ready to go to my men's retreat. So I'm going to be gone. And for me, I always dreaded around the time right before her period, she would walk out of the bathroom in tears. And that was always the hardest thing because I can't do anything. And as a guy, for all the guys listeners, this is the hardest thing ever. You can't fix it. And you just wish you could. I feel like that was one of the hardest things even in delivery of our baby. Was that, you okay, baby?
Yeah, it brings up the feels and I'm pregnant, so I can't really keep them down. Yeah.
I feel like one of the hardest things for me in the delivery process is watching the person I love the most go through pain. Mm. And you wish you could just take it, but you can't. And so I feel like I got to this point where I'm like, I need to have the talk with her because she thought she was getting better every month at handling it. And for me, from my point of view, she was getting worse at handling it. And I don't mean that as an attack on her. I'm just
being honest.
That wasn't
judgment.
That wasn't judgment. That was just, it's like her entire month was running around this. Mm-hmm. And she had been through the smorgasbord of different things. Okay, I'm going to try these things. No, actually, God's leading me away from trying these things. I'm going to, you know, all over the board. And I am getting to a place where I'm like, okay, I think it's time we had to talk about idols. And this is such a thing I did not want to do. And I remember I was in the bedroom and I walked out to her and I said, hey, can I talk to you about something? And I'll tell you exactly what I said. You can correct me if I'm wrong. So I walk out and I have her, I think her Bible in my hand.
Yep, my Bible, my journal.
And I said, I'm not saying that you're idolizing being a mom or having a baby, but I'm saying you should go pray about it. And I took her into our prayer closet and I set her stuff down and I closed the door and I headed for the hills.
Yeah. No, he literally did. And in that moment when he was like saying this to me, I was like, Holy Spirit, hold my tongue. Mm. Like I remember.
Yeah. Hold my tongue and fists. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it was one of those, like, he is not right now. Like in my moment of like, I am 0.2 seconds from a full-blown breakdown, and my husband's telling me I'm idolizing this, like, Holy Spirit, hold my tongue. I'm like, you're right. I do need to go pray right now. And so,
but pray about something else, and you pray about not hitting you.
And striking him with lightning.
Yes, that's funny.
And so anyways, it actually led to the most beautiful moment with the Lord. And so I walk into the prayer room, shut the door, and trying to get rid of my like frustration with the whole situation that got me there, right? And I was reading New Morning Mercies, and are you going to try to find the page?
Yeah, I'm going to look for it.
It was talking about when you're anxious about tomorrow, and I was thinking I was going to start my period the next day, and so it was very in line with what I was dealing with. And then I started journaling, and I was like, you know what, God, I'm frustrated. I'm actually pretty mad. I'm going to be honest with you.
Is it that page?
It says, you do not have to be anxious about the future. A God of grace has invaded your life, and he always completes what he starts. And it says, it's natural. We all do it. We all wonder about what is to come. Some of us think about the future and hope our dreams will come true. Some of us dread the future and pray we will not have to face the things that we fear. For some of us, the future seems foggy and unknowable. For all of us, it's too hard to look into the future and be secure because the future is simply out of our hands. And it goes on. And then it talks about, for further study and encouragement, go read Romans 8, 18 through 39. And I forgot to say I was journaling before this, and I was like, okay, God, I'm really frustrated because if I knew your will, I would pray according to it. Right. I don't know if I'm supposed to be praying for contentment inside of the waiting or be praying for my miracle and have faith and believe that it's coming soon, right? And so I was like, if I knew which one, I would pray for it, but I don't know. And so I was frustrated by that because I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to stand in faith and believe that this is the month. And then every time I do that, I'm so disappointed. And I felt like the higher my expectations went up in hope, the lower I would be in disappointment that month. And so I was just frustrated with the weight of that. And so then I'm reading in Romans 8, I think it's 26 through 28, where it talks about how when we no longer know how to pray, the Holy Spirit interprets the groans of our heart and he takes it to the Father and prays on our behalf according to God's will.
So good.
And it brought me so much peace because I had literally been journaling, God, I don't know your will. If I did, I'd pray for it. But it was that peace of being like, I don't have to know God's will. The Holy Spirit knows the groans and the moaning of my heart that I cannot even interpret. I don't even have words for it in this moment. It's just like this deep grief. And he's taking it to the Father. And I had this vision, and it'll totally make me cry, but I had this vision of me sitting in the throne room, and I could see the feet of God. And I felt the Holy Spirit literally surrounding and going around the throne room and praying on my behalf. And like, I felt Jesus's hand on my shoulder, like, I'm here.
Love that.
This beautiful moment of like, they have me, like they have me. And it just gave me so much peace. And, you know, I didn't start my period the next day.
She goes to take a shower, and then I walk up to her.
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Well, stay tuned, folks.
Not yet. So, you could be right, but I pretty much told Chad, I think we should stop trying. Like, I felt peace. Like, we need to stop trying for a moment.
I was like, whoa. That's not what I meant.
That's not why I sent you into the prayer room. And so then we end up flying to Texas. We were going to go to this marriage conference, and we were actually going to be on a podcast.
Wow.
And I hadn't started my period yet. I was thinking I was going to start. It's like 2 or 3 days later. I had not started my period yet. So, of course, I'm like, all that just happened. And now I feel like we're not supposed to be trying and all of this stuff. And then we're literally on our way to talk on a marriage podcast, and I start my period. Yes.
I thought that was going to go differently.
No, it didn't go differently. And so then he brings up on the podcast, like, y'all are so open about your journey of trying to get pregnant. Y'all want to talk about it? I'm like, Okay.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about it.
Do I want to talk about it? And what's really cool about it is that was the last time we would be able to publicly share inside of the journey what we were going through because we actually did get pregnant. Like, literally.
It was like the next few days.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
Which is wild. But God had to remind me too, because I think for what we do specifically, there's so, just so many questions, right? Like, well, what do you think changed? Like, how do you feel like you finally got pregnant, right? And there were certain months where I was using different ovulation strips or using this other thing or whatever. And it's like, it would have been very easy had I been doing that month to be like, oh, let me link these for you guys, right?
Yeah.
And God's like, no one will get credit for this child but me. And so I just remember him being like, you have to fully surrender this. Like, I don't want you testing anything. I don't want you doing anything. Like, this is literally only me. And I'm like, okay, God.
Yeah, he's saying, give me all the glory.
Well, I so appreciate the reminder that the masters gave about seeking after God first during a waiting season and really surrendering to him. So, Aaron, let's talk about how do we successfully navigate through these waiting seasons? What are some strategies that you often give to the couples that you work with?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, make sure that you are surrounded by godly same-sex friends. For me, having other women surrounding me, godly women, and for you, Greg, having godly men, because I can even think today, we're in a season of waiting for our son to come home, and I was chatting with one of my friends at breakfast this morning.
And he's off on a mission trip.
Yes. Yeah. And I was telling her about where our son was going and what he was doing on this mission trip, and I was saying, I don't know if I really want him to go there. And it was good because she listened, she empathized, and then she challenged me.
But did she pay for breakfast? That's what I want to know.
She didn't eat. Ugh. And I only ate half of mine. I don't know why, but she—
it's not a real friend.
But it was important to have her there this morning.
Yeah.
And just so, you know, listening and encouraging me, but also speaking truth to me as far as, are you trusting God? And how are you trusting God? And I know this is taking another large dose of trust and faith, but you've got it. You can continue to go to him.
Do you think it's easier for you? You are an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's easier for extroverts to surround themselves with that sort of support system? Because as an introvert, I'm listening to you going, maybe one person.
Well, and that's exactly, as an extrovert, so often I'll look at introverts and go, God, the depth that introverts have in their friendships and the connections, because they only have a few, and they pour deeply into those connections.
Yeah.
Versus for me, and granted, like we've talked about before on the podcast, I've become more introverted, but I still have multiple people that I will go to during times like this.
Yeah.
And I love that I have people surrounding me that will love me, but they will also speak truth to me.
Yeah, which is so important. And I like that. And beyond a support system, it has to include during this waiting season of just this open and honest communication. Because again, I know for me as that introvert, it's easy when I'm stressed out to really isolate myself and just to shut down and to quit talking to you. And it really is a battle that I have to think about and make myself go, no, I need to be sharing with Aaron. I need to be talking about how I'm feeling and how this is impacting me, because it's easier for me just to isolate and go into the cave.
Well, the good news is you have a wife that will always be asking and always be sharing. And
well, but then it would be easy for you just to do a lot of the sharing if my answer is, you know, I'm fine, or, you know, or I'll just listen and let you talk. It's just important and it's healthy for me. And I know that.
Yes.
To be willing to go, no, I really want to let you see inside. And it's hard because I'm not always sure what's really going on inside. Because, right, there's times where I'll even ask you and I'll say, you'll say, you know, how are you doing? I don't know. I'm struggling, but I'm not sure I have the words for it. Can I just talk and help me figure out what those emotions are. Yeah. And you're great with helping me go, oh, it sounds more this way or is it this? Mm-hmm. And that's an important part. We have to be talking or mm-hmm. we're going to drift.
Yeah.
And that's the, I think, one of the biggest battle. Dangers.
Yeah. Well, and it's also caring for you individually as well as caring for the connection. So personally and individually, making sure that you are well cared for physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, but as well that you're having that intimacy connection between you and your spouse. And that doesn't just mean physically with sex. Intimacy,
it doesn't only mean that, is what you meant.
Intimacy can be so much more as far as that we're connected emotionally, we're connected spiritually.
Well, to me,
yes,
see,
in just all really the, being known. These areas.
Yeah. Well, we have a great article about how you can learn to trust in the Lord during any season of your life, but especially during one of those waiting seasons. So check that out if you want to go a little bit deeper on this topic.
Yes, and all the details will be in the show notes.
Hey, it's Bill with your devotion. What do these three things have in common? Kellogg's Corn Flakes, Han Solo, and your marriage. Okay, in a word, waiting. Kellogg's, like all breakfast cereals, used to offer fun prizes in their boxes. Plastic whistles, decoder rings, and once in the 1940s, a ring shaped like an atomic bomb. But if you wanted the really cool stuff, you had to send the company a letter. In 1995, Kellogg's advertised a one-of-a-kind prize, the Han Solo action figure. Thousands of kids mailed a letter to Kellogg's and then waited and waited and waited. Were you one of them? Remember the frustration of walking to the mailbox every day hoping for that special package and then walking back to the house empty-handed? Maybe that was your first brush with waiting. It's not easy. Maybe today you're waiting on something far more important. Like a pregnancy, or a wayward spouse, or hope for your marriage. Well, Genesis 12 introduces us to a couple who waited and waited and waited. You know their names, Abraham and Sarah. And they struggled. They got impatient. But one thing they did right was believe that God was faithful. He never forgets his people or his promises. Romans 8:28 reminds us that God is always working on our behalf, sometimes quietly, sometimes all at once. So if you're waiting and checking life's mailbox, remember, God is at work. He never forgets his promises or his people. He never forgets you.
Well, I always appreciate Bill's stories. Mm. He just has such a great way of bringing scriptural truth really to light through story. And you know, as we go through hard times, it's so important to turn to the Bible for encouragement and wisdom, to really reflect on, you know, favorite passages and scriptures that offer hope and assurance and reminders of God's faithfulness and love. So, Aaron, what's one of your favorite scriptures as you tackle hard times and go through tough seasons? Where do you turn to in the Bible?
I love Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you may go.
And why is that such a powerful verse for you?
Because I've used it through so many seasons of trials and waiting. And it's my go-to.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can think back to when my mom had cancer and was dying, that was my scripture. And I would say it literally every time I was at the hospital, getting ready to enter her room, I would pray, Lord, make me strong and courageous because I don't want to go into this room because I know what's waiting. I want to be with her, but I know there's cancer on the other side of this door.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm strong enough to face what's happening to my mom.
Yeah.
But that scripture always empowered me to be there with her and to be strong for her.
Yeah, that's a great verse. I love Philippians 4:6-7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And what I like about that is that we're being encouraged to go before the Lord, and not only with thanksgiving, but with what we're going through. In the act of doing that, that really is what ends up guarding our hearts and our mind, which we're always going to be attacked by the evil one. He wants us to believe that we're alone, or that no one else would understand, or we can't get through this, or we're going to drift apart. Whatever those lies are, I think inviting God into, please protect my mind from Satan's lies, protect my heart from the frustration, discouragement, all those emotions, is a powerful reminder. Well, now we're going to move on to our weekly Q&A, and this is the part of the show where we get to answer your questions about marriage.
Please send us your questions. You can click the link in the show notes or go to crazylittlethingcalledmarriage.com and click the button on the side of our show page to leave us a voicemail. And if your question gets answered on the show, we're going to send you a copy of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets to a Lifelong Romance, for free, is our way of saying thank you for listening and reaching out to us.
Well, today's question comes from Rachel, so let's listen to her voicemail.
Hi, I was wondering if you had any tips for my husband and I as we are entering the parenting phase of our lives and keeping a good relationship as our family grows with the addition of a newborn.
Rachel, thank you so much for your question. And I would say—
And it's kind of the theme, right?
Yes.
of how do we transition as our family expands.
Well, and it's transitioning from one season to another. It's turning a page. And so I love that you're trying to investigate, how do we do this well? How do we go from being just the two of us to adding a third member to our family? I can remember, oh, this is so vivid, and I can't believe it's been almost 30 years ago when I was pregnant with Taylor and we were going to birthing classes. And I remember we walked out of the birthing class going, what have we done? Like, did we make the biggest mistake ever?
Freaked us out.
They did. And honestly, I will say that it wasn't long after having Taylor that we were like, this is the best thing ever. Having a baby, and to this day, all four of our kids are the greatest blessings that we have ever experienced.
At least three of them, and we'll let the one know someday. But yeah, it's true, though. I mean, The birthing classes, even people, what they said.
Yes.
Like, oh boy, your life is about to change. And so, Rachel, I just encourage you and your husband just to keep reminding yourself that this is a great thing. That, yeah, things will be different, but this is a good thing. And to look it forward and be excited around that. And I think one of the best things is I look back that I encourage now a couple who are starting to have, you know, their first child, is that you get to decide, you know, what your relationship's going to look like with this addition to your family and your relationship. Because there are some families, some parents who really allow a child-centered home to where everything is done around that child in the relationship, the marriage kind of gets forgotten. I saw a quote one time to where this dad kept saying to his kids, listen, your mom and I, our marriage is, that's like the sun. You were the planets. You orbit our marriage. It is not the other way around. And I remember reading that as a younger dad going, oh, that is so good. And we really believed in that. We decided that's how we're going to be. Our marriage is the sun. Our kids will orbit us. We're not going to orbit them. And we would even then tell them, you know, hey, at 8 o'clock when it's your bedtime, don't get out of bed, because what you're doing is you're disturbing our time. And we're going to take that time away from you tomorrow, you know, during some of your playtime. We're going to put you in a timeout forever, however long you interrupt our time. We're going to take that from you tomorrow. Because we just wanted to keep teaching them that mom and I go out on dates because this is how we keep our marriage strong. So if you're acting out with babysitters and all that, that's not okay.
And it's important to continue seeding that message, because bottom line, kids, they leave. They grow up and they leave. And that's a good thing. That's how they're created. That's how the family's created, that eventually you're empty nesting.
They boomerang back sometimes.
Yes. But. Yes, we hear that a lot. But honestly, I thought empty nest season would never come. I remember people used to say, oh, it goes so fast. And I'm like, yeah, I've been up for 24 hours straight with a screaming baby who's sick. It's not going fast, but honestly, it does. Yeah. And before you know it, we're down to having a 16-year-old at home.
Yeah.
And she'll launch in a couple years. And, you know, it's important then, thus, like you're saying, to keep the marriage strong right. throughout parenting, because then someday you will be back to just the two of you. Granted, children sometimes do come home or other circumstances occur, but it really is important to prioritize the marriage and love your children well.
Yeah. And a big thing, although it won't be true, is you have a brand new baby, but you guys are going to really need to learn how to work together as a team. Mm-hmm. It's very different when the children are present, because we think very differently around parenting, and, mm-hmm. and you'll just see that. But if we're constantly reminding each other, we're on the same team.
Right.
It's got to be room for both of us.
Yes.
So in other words, I look at parenting one way, you look at parenting another. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of going, we're on the team. Let's figure yeah. this out together.
And I would say one of the number one issues that I see within my private practice and couples, parenting issues, that he parents so differently, she parents so differently.
Well, of course, yeah.
They That's become the opposed
yeah.
to each other. And so what I would encourage someone having a brand new baby, start educating yourself, both of you individually as well as together. What do we want on our parenting team? What do yeah. we want this to look like? We both maybe came from different styles of parenting, being raised with parents that were different, but what do we want for our team? How do we want to parent this baby starting from the very beginning?
Yeah.
What's our philosophy? What are our guidelines? What are our rules? How do we love this child well? How do we stay strong? All of that. And I just remember when we had Taylor and when we had Murphy and when we had Garrison and when we had Annie, one of the biggest keys that went through all of those seasons was reading books. Anything I could get my hands on, I was reading, you know, online. Granted, it's online, I would say sometimes there's stuff that, yeah. you know, you're
yeah,
like,
give some
whoa.
Good qualifiers there.
Yeah. But books, I was in a mom's group right away, and that helped me grow so much because I had moms who were sharing different ideas of how they struggled through different seasons and ideas of what to do when you're dealing with certain issues.
Yeah, and what's cool is we have a fantastic parenting department,
mm-hmm.
and Danny Huerta heads that up. He has a great podcast. We'll link to that. But they've really developed an amazing age and stage content that's mm-hmm. on our website. Mm-hmm. So every year, every age and stage, you can get very specific help. So again, we'll link to that in our show notes.
Mm. Well, thanks to Rachel for your question, and look out for your copy of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. And if you're listening today and you have any questions for us, contact us. Click the link in the show notes to leave us a voicemail. Thank you for joining us for Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. We hope we were able to help you strengthen your marriage no matter what season you might be in.
Yeah, be sure to like, listen, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And be sure to share this episode with your friends. You know, we want you to have a seat at the table every week as we help equip you and your spouse to have a lifelong and satisfying marriage. We want to see you growing spiritually as individuals and as a couple so that you can invest in other couples to help them build thriving marriages.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again next week about this crazy little thing called marriage.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.